consign to our knees, and to beseech Thee that Thou wouldst look upon them, and that Thou wouldst keep them, and by that only way they can be kept, by a true regeneration. Oh, that Thou may give that life of sanctification, and that Thou wouldst draw our hearts as parents also away from this world. And wilt Thou remember the grandparents, the great-grandparents, that Thou may give them a place also in the lives of their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Then it has not to do so much anymore with the cares of this world, but that they may be in samples, and that their mouths may be given to go open unto them, and that they also may be instruments for the spiritual welfare of their growing families, that their knees also may wear the clothing thin, and that they may lay upon them before Thee, even as a Job of old that was sacrificing to Thee lest his children had sinned. Lord, remember Thy people, for Thou dost encourage them time after time, especially in our midst, when baptism may be administered so often, and when they may behold Thy sacrament, and when Thou dost once again testify that Thou wilt gather Thy church, when it seems to them so dark and dreary in this world. But Lord, Thou knowest what Thou doest. Wilt Thou remember us as a congregation? Oh, when we are baptized, and when we are brought by Thy own institution and command into the outward church of Thee, oh, give then we may live so in this world, that it may be evident amongst all our neighbors, and that it also may be in truth in our hearts, that we might live with a desire and a little resting and a hoping upon that promise, that it may be for my child, that it may be for this child. Lord, remember all those that love Thy name, Thy day, Thy house, those who are baptized, and those who feel so outside of it. O Lord, that Thou may give them a place upon their knees, that they may point out to Thee what Thou hast done for them, and that Thou mayest bless it also unto them personally. Remember those that mourn. Remember those who remember other times. Remember those who have no children. Lord, wilt Thou remember in Thy own time, but also in Thy own way, because when Thou dost take our will and Thou dost make it one with Thy will, then it is good. Whatever that Thou doest, oh, give it to be so, and that we might desire above all Thy glory, and that Thou wouldst govern us by Thy hand. Help us this hour yet to speak a few fitting words, and wilt Thou bless it to the coming of Thy kingdom, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 51, all the stanzas. Amid the thronging worshipers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, His name will I confess. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 51. Congregation, you will find our text by continuance in John 4, in the last portion of verse 53. John 4, verse 53, in the last part, and himself believed, and his whole house. Faith wrought in a certain nobleman. We heard faith hoping, and second, faith believing. This afternoon, faith strengthened and faith multiplied. So faith wrought in a certain nobleman, faith hoping and faith believing. And now faith strengthened and faith multiplied. Sir, come down. Ere my child die. Who said that? It was a beggar. It was a nobleman made beggar. He was led so by the Spirit of the Lord. As the Lord is leading all of his people in that same way. That is not what our flesh likes. It is not what our flesh looks for. But the Lord does not ask our flesh. The Lord remembers his own people. The Lord will have mercy upon his own elect. Are you one of them? Do we have that mark? Nobleman made beggar. Can you tell about that? Can you tell how that the Lord has brought you down in such a way? How did the Lord make this nobleman into a beggar? He touched his son, came very, very close, very close. But that is necessary. It has to come close. Because it cannot always remain with other people. It has to be for us too. And then it cannot remain always about the natural things. No, it has also to go further than the natural things. Therefore, the Lord has discovered unto this man his guilt. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. He has no answer. He cannot answer. His father says, you are concerned about your son. That is good. But it is all about his natural welfare. And you do not come to me for the reason that I am sent into this world. And then no answer. And it does not solve his need. Sir, come down ere my child die. Oh, the Lord is going to prepare all his children for deliverance. That is necessary. Why? Because we cannot prepare ourselves. Do you feel that? Do you say, Lord, work in me? Become too strong for me? Work in my children? Become too strong for my children? Oh, what a blessed faith that the Lord has put in the heart of that poor father. At that moment that he has revealed unto that father his power. Not only his power, but also his grace. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Well, that man felt it. And it is always in such a way. Because we read, he believed. He believed the word that Jesus had spoken and went his way. He did not need one word more. That was enough for him. Sounds so easy, doesn't it? Sounds so easy. You ever say that? Oh, it sounds so easy. And you find it yourself to be so impossible. It is so easy. It is so easy when the Lord does it. Because when the Lord is coming, the Lord is bringing everything along with Him. And then indeed it is easy. Oh, they are blessed moments. Moments of the activity of faith. When faith may believe. No, more. When faith has to believe. When faith must believe. When faith cannot do anything else but believe. But do you know now what that people also experience? That they cannot hold on to it. That is the reason we read that in the Song of Solomon, the bride, she speaks unto that bridegroom and she says, "Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." She did not have power. She did not control when he was there with his special and blessed presence, when she may eat and when she may drink. She did not have control when she was brought, as it were, into the banqueting house, and his banner over her was love. And now what do we read of this father? We read, he believed and went his way. And what happens on the way, that is what we want to take a look at for a moment this afternoon. And that is no different from the rest of his church. What happens to him on the way home? We read, as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." So when do you think that those servants, they left? When do you think, children? Or because suddenly, that was not over a long period of time, no, suddenly, then that fever was gone. Suddenly, that child was healed. Oh, then they could see. Then he was just as all the other children. When do you think, how long do you think it took for those servants to go? Oh, then they had a desire. We will go and we will let him know, the master of the house. We will let him know because he is anxious. Was he anxious? No. But they did not know that. They did not know that. So they go and they tell him, "Thy son liveth." Is he surprised? No, he's not surprised. He knew it. He knew that already before that they said it to him. Why? Because it says he believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And what is faith? Aspects, knowledge, assent, trust. And we had the opportunity when we saw in a special way that assent, and we saw something of that trust, and now we see a little of that knowledge. That knowledge. That is an aspect of true saving faith, not of temporary, miraculous, historical, not this knowledge. That is an aspect of true saving faith. And that knowledge is different than the knowledge of historical faith. In what way? That it is a knowledge of experience. that is a knowledge that is able to testify. What does Paul say? He says, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is evidence? Evidence that is something you take into a court. Because it is something that is seen or it is heard, and that can be useful in the court. It proves something. I have seen it. I have heard it. And now faith. That is evidence. That has to do with that knowledge. The knowledge of faith is the knowledge that is evidence. It is a knowledge the same as boys and girls as when you say, I have seen something. I have heard it with my own ears. It is not a rumor. And yet it is evidence of things that are not seen, not with your natural eyes. No, they are seen by your spiritual eyes. That is the way that that knowledge of true faith, that is evidence. And the Father, he experienced that. When he may believe that word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and the Lord gives to him faith. Faith in exercise. There are no questions. Then he sees by faith. And seeing is believing. Believing. Knowing. Knowing. So, they say, thy son liveth. They did not have to tell him because he knew it already. But now we read that that father, he asks a question. Where did that question come from? That came from inside of him. You have questions inside of you. What are those questions about? Are those questions about your soul's welfare? Are those questions about the welfare of the soul of our children? There are questions in the heart of this father. And it is only, probably 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago, that he left the side of the Lord Jesus. If they are coming from the other side and it is 4 or 5 hours, then they are meeting somewhere there in the middle, a few hours ago. And then we read that that man believed. And now just a short time later, this man has a question. You know what that is? To believe. And then only a short time later, it is an hour later, it is 2 hours, it is a day later, and then there are questions. Now you say, why? Why? Why is that not now the same as it was an hour ago? Why was it not the same as it was a day ago, last week, last year? That is the struggle of faith. That is a struggle with unbelief. Doubts, fears. Because when the Lord is working, the devil is also there. It was in Peter, remember? Get thee behind me, Satan, child of God. Thus, Father, he has a question. And what does this noble one want to do? He wants to seek in his questions for evidences. For evidences. Do you look for evidences? He wants evidences of the work of Christ in his own case. He wants that for his own assurance. Do you need that? Or do you just accept that all is true? And are there never any questions? And is there never a desire for a confirmation? I think you have no place then among the true people of the Lord, because they are a church militant.
and have an enemy. Oh, and that unbelief, that is a great enemy in the life of that people. Oh, that Father, he is asking, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. What does he want to do? He wants to connect the promise of Christ that was spoken to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. He wants now to connect that to the providence of the Lord. That is, as his servants to say, thy son liveth. And now he wants to connect them. He wants to make sure that one is the result of the other and that they are not disconnected. What is it now about? Why is that father not just happy that his son is living? When he came to Christ, what did he want? That his son would live. And now his son is living. And he is well. Then it should be done. Ah, something more has come, right? Before that was all about his son. And now it is not only about his son anymore. The Lord is leading that father. No, it is not just about his son. He cannot just go away with the blessing anymore. Oh, now it is about Christ. Now it is about Christ. Now it has turned into something more than that which was it was before. It has turned into something that is spiritual. Thus, the true church, they are concerned about the truth of the spiritual matters. Are you too? The truth of those spiritual matters. And to know the truth of them, they are seeking what? They are seeking evidences. Because evidences are the proofs of the truth of the spiritual matters. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And now what does the Father want to do with the answer that he receives from his servant? They're going to tell him just what hour he began to amend. And what is he going to do with that information? He's going to begin to reason with it. To reason with it. Is that good? That he begins to reason with that information. There is a faith, a so-called faith in the world. We warn you about that, young people. That is all reason. All reason. It is nothing but reason. It can be discerned from true faith. How? Well, it's easy. You know the rich young ruler? He went up. All these things have I kept from my youth up. And the nobleman, he was up and he came down. It's the opposite direction. Is that not easy to discern up from down? So listen. Just listen. And observe. And you see and hear if it is going with a person in the right direction. That faith that is all reason. That is a faith of noble men that never become beggars. They are never dethroned. But what now is that discernment? If the Lord may give to us discernment between what is up and what is down. What is that now to discern? Where does that happen, discernment? Well, that happens in our reasoning mind. That is where it happens.
That is not what the Father wants to do. Is that good? Is that right? That Father wants to reason. Well, what does Paul say? He says, examine yourself. Examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. Prove, he says, your own selves. What is that? Reason? We're not animals. No, the Lord has given to us reason, and now that is what that Father very naturally is going to do, and what all God's children naturally will do. And it is good, it is right, it is commanded by the Lord. And then that Father says, if now that boy began, he was better already before that the Lord Jesus had made that promise. Well, then the two are not connected anymore. But if he was now getting better after the Lord had gave that promise, then I will know. Then it will be to me a confirmation. And what do they say? And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the Father knew. In that way, he knew. That it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Himself believed. I say, that is not new. That is not new. We heard that before. Doesn't it say that also before here? That the man, he believed the word that the Lord Jesus had spoken unto him. And now we read it again. And himself believed. Is that the same? I say no. No, they are not the same thing. They're different. That is right. How are they now different? Well, the first, you say, that was under the direct influence of the Spirit of the Lord. That was a believing that the Lord gave to him at the moment that the Lord revealed to him his power. And that the Lord revealed to him his grace. And in that moment, that man may believe. That is right. There is a very, very powerful assurance in the direct acts of faith. Read of Samson. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. That is the way that David went to fight Goliath. They are under the special power of the Lord. And his father, he receives faith in that same way, by that same influence, so that he believed the word Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. But now we read of a faith that is received in a different manner. How is it now received by him? It is received by him in the way of reflection. It says, and himself believed. How did he receive that faith? That is, by reasoning. That is, by looking at evidences. That is, by looking at marks. That is the reason that it is so, so important for God's servants to lay out the marks, the characteristics of true saving faith for those inquisitors, that they may be able to compare themselves, to examine themselves. and to see if they themselves are partakers of those marks. If it is my case, if there is a true faith, or if that faith is not true, do we desire so to reason? We want to reason about all the things in the world. Oh, do you desire this kind of reasoning, young people? That you might know that you are also one. You say, I have a baptized forehead. Am I one now of that true church of God? Thus, there are direct acts of faith, and there are reflexive acts of faith. There is assurance in every direct act of faith, a very powerful assurance. But God's children, they desire to be established in the faith. So what does that mean? To be established in the faith. Does that mean that God's children live the rest of the time in this world under the special influences of the Spirit of the Lord, that they may exercise those direct and blessed acts of faith? It is not so. That is for heaven. They could not bear it. Oh, the bride, we read, she swooned. She swooned when the Lord came. Then it was too much for her. Oh, she said, then he had to hold me. His hand had to be behind me. Oh, God's people, they have asked the Lord if the Lord would stop. Some of them. No, that is not the establishing of God's people. The establishment of the church, that has much to do with the reflexive acts of faith. As Paul says, make your calling and election sure. Every direct act of faith is contributing to that confidence, to that assurance, especially when the Lord is leading his people into the further steps of grace, not just Christmas, but also into that suffering and Good Friday and Easter and Ascension and all what that means. If the Lord is leading his people into those experiences, that they may also be given those direct acts of faith, oh, then every one of them is contributing to the assurance of the people. And if you ask them, they say the best assurance, that is the last visit. The last visit. Why? Oh, because in that the Lord is granting unto them the assurance that is in every single act of faith. Paul, he says, I know whom I have believed. What is that? That is a reflexive act of faith. He looks back. He says, I know whom I have believed. And it may not be now in that same way, under those direct influences. But I know what happened. I know what happened. And because he knew it, he says, I am persuaded. What is that? That is that establishing. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that last day. O congregation, today we have witnessed that very special sacrament of baptism. What is that for? Is that now for working of faith? Does that give faith to our children? We say no. No. It is for the strengthening of faith. It is for that assurance. And how does it work, that assurance? Well, it is a sign and it is a seal. A seal. And what does a seal do? Well, a seal is a sign from an authority. That is what a seal is. Like it's on your baptism certificate, children. Seal. From the authority. What is most important? That you know that that seal is from the authority, that it belongs to the authority. That is most important, because if that seal is from someone else, it means nothing. But if it is from that authority, then I know I have an authentic birth certificate. What is now the most important thing, parents? If that sacrament will be advantageous to the soul of God's people, they must be certain that baptism is an institution of the Lord. That it is the Lord's institution. No man has instituted it. That the Lord has commanded his servants to go forth, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Or it is no institution of it cannot seal, except we know that. Are we convinced of that? Do we feel that? That what has taken place in this hour that is commanded by the Lord, it is the Lord's own institution. That is why we read it in the form over and over again. And so that Father knew that it was at the same hour and himself believed. But not only himself, there was more. And we don't have so much time, but let us sing a moment and then a little longer. 209, stanza 7. In weakness I was pressed with fear, but better hopes my spirit cheer. Past mercies lead me to rely upon the help of God Most High. That is that reflexive faith. Past mercies lead me to rely. 7 of 209.
Thank you.
and himself believed, and his whole house. What is that? That is faith multiplied. What do you think, parents? Are you jealous of that father? And his whole house. That does not happen so often, does it? Not only parents here, but all of us who may have children. Oh, just to think, would that not be a wonder? Parents, you look at all your children, and you say, now, if every one of my children would fear the Lord, would that not be a wonder? Do you desire that? How much do you desire that? How strong is that desire? We may know the strength of that desire by the fruits, what it brings forth. What do we do in order that may take place? You say, well, what can we do? That is a gift of God, indeed. Indeed it is. But do we believe that the Lord uses means? And himself believed, and his whole house. Do you think that that father was an instrument in the hand of the Lord, that also his whole house, his children, his servants, that they also may be converted? Do you think that that father could have been as clay in the Lord's hands to do his most mysterious work in the midst of that blessed family? Oh, what do you think that father has done for this? In his family, in his house, for the conversion of his children, of his wife. Oh, that family is not unaware of that father's need. They have seen that with their own eyes. They have seen him, a nobleman, and they have watched as the Lord brought him off of his little throne. They watched that. Do you know what that is? Did you ever watch that? Or sometimes that happens in a day, but not so often. Or that happens gradually, very often. You ever have a family member you watch come down from the heights, from the pride, and when the Lord is laying him in the dust of self-abasement, in his need, in his helplessness, can be seen with your eyes, can be heard with your ears, because the religion is more than notion. Something must be felt, and then it will be seen. The Lord will not do that in a corner. It may be try to be hid. That is what Bunyan said about his pilgrim. He tried to hide it, but it could not be hid. And so that family, oh, they have seen it, the need, but then he was gone. You know what they did not see? They never saw that man brought into his guilt. They were not there. And congregation, we are also not there. We cannot see in the heart. In the heart. And now what do you think? Oh, that father, he comes home. Oh, he has had 4 or 5 hours now
to rejoice in the mercy of the Lord for his son. And in that time, working. Oh, who is that now? Then it is not about his, now it is about Christ. And then he comes home. He has received a confirmation from his own servants on the way home, all from the Lord. And what do you think has happened when he came home there? What do you think? Can you picture that man? When he has embraced his son. And then I think that he sat there with tears. Right? Or what do you think he said to his wife? Do you think he told them about his guilt? Do you think that he said something about how he came there in love for his child, and that the Lord, he put his finger on the sore? Do you think that he told them of the great mercy of the Lord to such as he was? Come to the Lord for all the natural things. And the Lord has blessed him so overabundantly, not only with the natural things, but also with the spiritual things. Oh, do you think he has warned them? Do you think he has admonished them? Do you think he has encouraged them? Do you think he has told them of the great goodness, of the great mercy, and of the great grace of Jesus Christ? Oh, and himself believed, and his whole house. Do you know what Paul says? He says, "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? What knowest thou, O man, whether thou wilt save thy wife?" Say, can we save our husband? Can we save our wife? We cannot do that, you say. No. What is he speaking about? You can read it. 1 Corinthians 7. We read it this morning. Then he is speaking about a life of sanctification. He says, if that unbeliever departs, they will not be with you anymore. But that husband is sanctified by the wife. Don't leave him. Don't leave him if he is ready, if he wants still to live with you. He speaks about sanctification. And he says that husband or that wife, they are made holy by your example. And by the words, the conversation that comes out of your mouth, by the tears that flow from your cheeks, by the earnestness of your warnings, by the warmness of your encouragements, by your speaking about the mercy and the grace of God to such as you are, also taken from that life of godlessness, oh, that life of sanctification. What is the Lord doing? And himself believed, and his whole house. Conversion, what is that? Natural or supernatural? You say, that is supernatural. That is right. But it also has natural elements. The Lord, he is not taking one from Fort McLeod and one from Pincher Creek and one from Nigeria. No. He is doing that within families. The Lord is converting His people, and He is giving them a prayer for their children and His children.
Oh, the Lord gives so often to His people, God-fearing parents. God-fearing parents. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Would that not be a wonder to hear, fathers and mothers? Go thy way, thy sons, thy daughters, they live. They live. Would that not be a wonder to hear? What did that father pray? Oh, he said, "Sir, come down. Come down ere my child die." And that is who was answered by the Lord. Will you lay there too? Will you lay there too? Your whole life for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren, not for their natural needs alone, but for their soul. Lord, come down ere my child die. Amen. Oh, Lord, who has given to that man far above what he has ever requested. He came for one boy, the needs of his body. Thou gavest him the whole house, the needs of their souls. Oh, give to us, Lord, a place at thy footstool. And if there are those who cry for the natural needs of their children, which are many, give them a place there also to lay their souls before thee. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Remember wandering children. For this father thought thou hadst to go down. But he learned that thou didst not have to go down, because thou art everywhere, and thou art all-knowing, and thou art almighty. God himself, wilt thou remember them who are baptized and living in the midst of this world. Forgive thou our many sins. Go with each of us in the week to come. Spare us from a sudden and an unprepared death. Help us with our labors, school, homes, farms, and wherever we labor. Bless the work of our hands. Keep us from sin. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 399, 2, 3, and 4. To every generation thy glory shall be told, and thy honor and thy majesty in memory I will hold. 399, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.